This is JimBinbo.com e-news number 276, the 17th of December, 2009. This e-news is read by JimBinbo's text-to-speech robot Jimbo, or Jimbot, if you prefer. As usual, there are 5 items, and 3 feedbacks in this issue of e-news. Item 1. Will GE buy Rockwell? The recent termination of the Gefionuc joint venture was the sign that GE would either get in or get out of automation. Expect GE to move quickly in 2010. GE's recent moves have accumulated war chest of roughly $25 billion cash on the balance sheet at year-end 2010. There are plenty of signals that GE is now on the deal or path for industrial companies. Rockwell Automation has been mentioned as a distinct possibility. Buying Rockwell would allow GE to grow in the automation arena, where the giant is not even a top 10 player. Why Rockwell? Why now? GE sees Rockwell technology as a plus and its distribution/install base in North America a competitive advantage. 2. Jeff Inelt keeps emphasizing global opportunities, and GE would boost Rockwell's distribution on a global scale to compete with Siemens and ABB, against whom Rockwell doesn't stand a chance. Rockwell responded to the prospects of being bought out by GE with the usual sweet nothings. Heck, what would they say? Sure, we're for sale. What the 500-pound gorilla wants, it gets. GE's entry will bring new life to the stale and stagnant automation business. Item 2. Future of American Manufacturing. Historically, American manufacturing is responsible for the higher standard of living enjoyed by Americans compared to other countries. A thriving manufacturing base is necessary to allow that trend to continue. But, with all the offshoring that is occurring today, is American manufacturing declining into insignificance? This month, at a program hosted by Maria Bartiromo of CNBC, 6 of the manufacturing industry's most influential leaders met at Carnegie Mellon University to answer tough questions and chart a path forward. The program was labeled Meeting of the Minds, Rebuilding America, and was broadcast on CNBC on December 2, 2009. I urge you to view the fireworks that ensued. The program panelists included an all-star manufacturing lineup, including Jeff Immelt, chairman and CEO of General Electric. Discussion focused on key questions facing manufacturing today. Are manufacturing jobs in the U.S. gone forever? Does an economy that doesn't produce anything have a near real value? Has made in the USA died? Manufacturing once led America to become the richest nation in the world. It's clear that resurgence of manufacturing is what is being planned. In America, manufacturing will become vibrant again. Item 3. The smart grid revolution. There has been a lot of talk recently about the smart grid. Do you know what it is, and how it will change the future? Here's a summary. The products we run with electricity have changed enormously, but the massive grid that delivers power to homes and businesses has hardly changed at all for over a century. Today, power companies cannot track the electricity they produce and distribute. They don't really know about problems till customers start calling. And steady leaks are a big problem. About 7-9% of power is lost in the transmission wires. Consumers have similar problems. They only get a glimpse of their energy consumption when their utility bills come once a month. They pay about the same for power any time, ignoring the fact that power is much more expensive during peak times. Our technologies are 21st century, while our power grid is barely in the 20th. The smart grid brings networked intelligence, allowing power companies to monitor distribution and respond rapidly to changes. Consumers can use intelligent appliances to control how and when they use electricity for power hog appliances, which shrinks power bills and smooths demand. The smart grid incorporates the use of superconductive transmission lines for less power loss and keeps track of all electricity flowing in the system. It also integrates alternative sources of electricity such as solar and wind. Building the smart grid brings the power distribution into the internet age. Information is used to optimize power usage, making the entire system operate much more efficiently and reliably. How big is the smart grid market? Utilities will need to add an aggregate of nearly 40 gigawatts of clean energy generation by 2030. To get all that power to customers, total investment of $2 trillion into transmission and distribution networks will be required. And there will be even more investment in the software, hardware, and wireless networks to enable the power grid to intelligently manage all the additional capacity. Smart meters can cost anywhere from $100 to $300 per meter to install, depending on the sophistication of the meter. So, say 40 million smart meters will be installed, that could cost $4 billion. Venture capitalists have recently started to pump money into the sector, look for lots of startup companies, and new growth. Item 4. Howard Bloom, book. Genius of the Beast. One of the smartest people I know is the multidisciplinary scientist and visionary Howard Bloom. And now he has just published a new book, The Genius of the Beast. A radical revision of capitalism. It's an iconoclastic, big-picture view of the transformation of mankind by its machinery. Genius of the Beast rewrites the history of capitalism. It describes the connecting science, technology, emotions, business, and society, and proposes next generation of capitalism for Western civilization, an evolutionary imperative that Howard Bloom suggests can lift us from economic crisis and dramatically upgrade our ability to empower our fellow human beings. Bloom's new book has given me a fresh new view of capitalism as a self-organizing system that goes through boom and bust as part of the essential living genetic algorithm. Greed cannot be blamed, and the reaction towards populism and egalitarianism is inevitable. They're all just part of the repositioning mechanism that optimizes progress. Howard Bloom writes easily, it's like talking with him. Read his book. Item 5. Jim Pinto speaking engagements. After 30 years of focus as founder and CEO of Action Instruments, I have the luxury of retirement. For me, this is defined as doing what I wish to do. During the past decade, I have taken up many avocations. Futurist, speaker, author, writer, web columnist, angel investor, industry commentator, business consultant. What I enjoy most of all are my speaking engagements. What's nice about being a speaker is that I speak for an hour, and I'm done. All my knowledge, background, experience, and insights are focused on delivering a valuable message to an audience that is tuned into attention. It stimulates the juices. The more I'm paid, the more valuable it becomes to my audience and to me. I've got to tell you, some of my best thinking comes while I'm delivering a speech and in the Q&A and interaction that follows. During past years, I have spoken at events all over the country and the world. In the past 12 months, I've visited Australia, England, France, South Africa, India, and, of course, several major cities in the US and Canada. The more I travel and speak, the more insights it gives me into the wonderful variety of ideas and experiences that relate to the places I visit, the people I meet, and the variety of topics we discuss. It stimulates my eclecticism. Because I am typically engaged for the day, sometimes just an hour, I can speak my mind. I tell my audience exactly what I think, without fear or favor. I'm not just a consultant that tells the client what they wish to hear. I have no hidden agendas. Hey, if you're organizing a conference, sales meeting, or industry gathering, I'd like to be considered as your keynote speaker. I'll help you pick a topic to suit your meeting theme. Here are the popular favorites: the global future of industrial automation, global manufacturing, benefits, and problems of offshoring, futures, new century predictions and prognostications. And do me a favor. Watch my latest video, my 1-minute sales pitch. I'll appreciate your feedback. Thanks. As usual, there were 3 feedbacks in this issue of E-News. Feedback 1. Randy Watts provides his prescription for capitalism and big government. Says Randy, let me suggest that the root of the problem is neither corporate nor government corruption. If the American public wishes to have government solve all economic and social problems, then it must accept the corruption that accompanies the concentration of so much economic power in one institution. Less corruption is possible only if we restore the balance of power between government and private enterprise. Amendments to our Constitution must provide for 1. Term limits for members of Congress, and 2. Prohibiting contributions to elected officials by any citizen. This would not be a cure-all, but it would indeed be a step in the right direction. Feedback 2. Suzanne Lovell comments on downsizing. Suzanne writes, "Your piece on layoffs really resonated. I recently returned to work with the same company, after a year off, a year which saw 3 rounds of layoffs, a reduction in working hours, and an increase in responsibilities. I see around me constantly the emotional fallout when a company handles poorly the need to reduce the workforce. My colleagues are highly educated, committed professionals, long used to giving extra to the clients they care for, and, through them, the company. Now, however, there is an edginess to interactions with management, and the rate of turnover is impacting the ability to fulfill the corporate mission. No amount of rah-rah messages from on high seem to make any difference." Feedback 3. Bob Zook is currently not a member of ISA, after many years of membership. Bob gives his opinion of what is happening at ISA. He writes, "ISA is no different from most volunteer-based organizations. Every election is for those who are willing to try and do the job with the best of intentions. Or it is a beauty contest for ego gratification and a line on a resume. ISA has consistently had good people in management positions. But, as Glenn Harvey stated, there is no innovative thinking. Your other management article said, don't play for the future by using today as a starting point, because you are only extrapolating. Determine what the future should look like, and find the best way to get there. Unfortunately, the ISA membership is probably the worst group to ask, what is the ISA of the future? Because the bulk of those who are left are status quo people. The innovative and progressive have left long ago to find more fitting forums where they can bounce around their ideas. Great strides have been made in recognizing ISA as a standards-writing organization. Unfortunately, the marketing lobbyists have caused substantial disruption of the processes. When standards are written by those who support their own interests, the process gets corrupted to the point of irrelevance." Well, that's this issue of e-news. Please send us your feedback. Tell Jim how you like me, his Jimbot text-to-speech robot. Send your email to jim@jimbinbo.com. Thank you.